It's really a joy and delight and a privilege to be able to join you via our live stream this Easter morning. Kathy and I had a chance to finish our 40-day Lenten devotional journey, our journey to the cross, this morning around 8, and that was just wonderful. And so I'm so encouraged that that was helpful for so many as the pastors took turns reading through that. Though this is the first time that Easter is not being celebrated in physical churches in the history of our country, nothing can stop the power of God in the resurrection of His Son, Jesus, on this Easter morning. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. Matthew 28, 1 through 10 brings us to our final message that I'll be giving, and then our Pastor Barbara will be concluding this Journey to the Cross series as we look at the Great Commission next Sunday. I've titled this morning's message, A Most Glorious Journey, Matthew 28, 1 through 10. And I just want us for a few minutes this morning to think about three things. The relationship between the resurrection and the cross. Secondly, the resurrection and Jesus. And then thirdly and finally, the resurrection and us. So three things, some reflections this morning as we think about it. And I would just like to open up in a brief word of prayer. Let's pray together. On this glorious Easter morning, as millions upon millions celebrate the life, death, and on this morning, the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, from death, we worship you. And though we are not meeting in our physical churches, we know that nothing can stop the power of Jesus' resurrection on this Easter morning. And so homes throughout this nation and globe, as people and families and individuals gather, we lift up our hearts and worship you, Lord. We thank you. We pray that you would speak to us this morning. We pray that you would reveal yourself in a real and tangible and transforming way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The resurrection and the cross. This past Friday, we celebrated Good Friday. My family had a chance to watch our live streaming of Da Vinci's Last Supper as the disciples were gathered in that upper room on Friday night. And I was reminded once again of what a historic event and events that took place this past week, and especially this weekend that we are remembering, commemorating, and trying to once again be transformed by. The resurrection and the cross are both essential parts of the gospel story. And I believe it is a danger that we fall into that we often, during this time of the year, holidayize different aspects of this weekend. We often segment these holidays just like we do for Christmas. When it's time to celebrate it during the calendar year, we focus on it, and that's great. And we often do that between even Good Friday and Easter, because today is a day that, yes, we remember our Lord's resurrection, but at the same time, we celebrate it with lovely dinners with your family. I know my kids were already looking for their Easter eggs this morning, hidden throughout the crevices of our home, and that's all part of Easter for so many families. The danger is that we often segment the cross and the resurrection as two separate events that often we forget aren't related to one another in our minds. But that is a great danger. The gospel is one story which is represented by the cradle or the manger, Christmas. that is marked by the cross, the crucifixion on Good Friday, and is marked by Easter, the tomb, the grave that was now empty. The incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection are all a part of the gospel story. And so let us not focus so much only on the cross that we forget to celebrate this morning. And let us not just celebrate this morning and move too quickly away from the cross. Both things are critically important. And as we celebrate Easter this morning, we don't want to move too quickly from the cross. And I think there is a danger, and I know I've fallen into it, that once Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross, as he cried out, "It is finished," and then he gave up his spirit, we often think that not much really happened, and the true excitement, the true game changer, is we need to wait until Easter morning. And that's incorrect. That is a fallacy. That is wrong. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," from the cross, it indeed is finished. The power of sin has been broken forever. The power of Satan has been broken forever. And the power of death itself was broken forever on that cross. The revolution began on that Good Friday. And so, as I have fallen into myself, don't think that the cross was a time where things just grew quiet and we're waiting for the real fireworks of Easter when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." It truly was finished. All those authorities and powers that often fight against God's authority and power, that we still wrestle with and struggle with in our lives today, those powers, the lesser powers, have been forever destroyed on the cross once and for all. And that's what I want us to think about this morning as we think about the relationship between the cross and the empty tomb. Gavin Orland put it this way, as we get ready for our second truth: our salvation consists of both a bloody cross and an empty tomb. Both a Friday afternoon's agony and a Sunday morning's vindication. And the latter is not merely proof of the gospel, but part of the gospel. Both Good Friday and as we celebrate Easter are critical parts of the gospel story. Lean on one and forget the other, you will not get the complete gospel. The cross and the resurrection. But secondly, I want us to think about the resurrection in Jesus Christ himself this morning. And this is something in this past week, as I was reflecting on and studying and praying through, that, to be very honest, in all my many years of ministry, didn't really hit me the way in which it did. And it is this. And to ask the question, what is the relationship between Jesus and his own resurrection? Was the resurrection only proof in a validity that he was who he claimed to be? And that's often how we preach it and understand what happened on Easter morning. it was now proof that he was truly the Son of God. Well, yes, it was, for sure. But it was a whole lot more. It is through Jesus' own resurrection that he fulfills his own mission as prophet, as priest, and as king. It is through what took place on that Sunday morning in the tomb when he rose again from the grave. It was much more than just proof of who he claimed to be, because it was proof, yes. But it was also the way in which he would fulfill his own mission, his own calling to be the eternal, the perfect prophet and priest and king forever. That is something that was fresh and new and impactful for me as I reflected on the relationship between Jesus and his own resurrection. And I think it is critically important for us to grasp in order to have the full experience and impact of what this Easter is really all about. Jesus, through his own resurrection, would forever now be our great high priest, our pastor, our shepherd. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 15 to 17. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but look at this phrase, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of them, you are a priest, what? Forever. After the order of Melchizedek. It is through Jesus' own resurrection, his bodily resurrection, that he was raised in what we just read to an indestructible life. And this would allow him to be our great high priest into all eternity forever, as we just read in our passage. And this began on Easter morning when Jesus rose in body to an indestructible life. Never again would he be able to be put to death or destroyed as what happened on the cross. Well, Pastor, that's great. What does that mean? It means that into all eternity, Jesus, as resurrected Lord, continues to pastor us, to shepherd us, to love us, to guide us. As Hebrews reminds us, he continually offers intercession. He prays for you, and he prays for me. He defends us when we choose to disobey. He points to his own blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. That is powerful. And that is what took place in Jesus Christ through his own resurrection. Secondly, through his own resurrection, he became the eternal king. Jesus now has everlasting rule over all the nations of the world. We read in Psalm 72a, may he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. His rule is now universal. And it is also everlasting. 2 Samuel 7:16 says, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This did not take place during Jesus' earthly ministry. He came specifically to give his life away as a ransom for many. But it was after his resurrection and then his ascension that he would take his place as the ruler of all the nations and the world from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus, through his own resurrection, became our priest, our king, and now our great prophet. Hebrews 1 reminds us of this. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by what? His powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. In John 14, 18, do you remember these words where Jesus told his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's talking about after his crucifixion. How can he leave them as he ascended to heaven, but at the same time promise that I will come to you? It's after the resurrection that Jesus would forever be our perfect prophet. The one who would point to his Holy Spirit, who would continue to give us his words, his instructions, to keep believers on track, following him, loving him, serving him, and through his words to convict the hearts of those that don't yet know him, and for them to be reborn and to become followers of him. This is what took place when Jesus rose again from the grave on that Easter morning. It was more than just a proof or validity that he was who he was, who he claimed himself to be. In resurrecting from the grave, he now is able to fully serve and rule and reign and teach and guide throughout all eternity. That is the powerful implication of what the resurrection and the relationship to Jesus himself does and what took place on Easter morning. Thirdly and finally, as we put this all together, the resurrection and us. Romans 8:11 says this, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. 2 things this morning as we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We who know him, love him, want to follow him, have been given a new life and a new mission. We have been resurrected to a new life. Just like in our union with Jesus Christ, we've been united in his death, forever dying to sin and its powers. We have been now united to Christ in his resurrection. We have been resurrected to a new life. This just doesn't point forward to a time in some distant future where we will be raised again from the grave physically. It is what we call an already but not yet experience for the Christian because of our union with Jesus Christ. We have experienced a resurrection in our hearts, in our lives, because of Jesus. Because Jesus rose again from the grave, we can declare and we know that Jesus brings dead things back to life. Jesus brings dead things back to life. And he demonstrated it, of course, first in his own glorious resurrection from the grave. Jesus would spend 40 days with his disciples in his glorified body after that Easter morning. And we are reminded that not only is there a new life, but now there is a new mission. We have been called and resurrected to a new mission in our lives. We are reminded that the Christian gospel is not just telling other people so that they can get a ticket to heaven, but it is bringing heaven down to earth and the power of a living and resurrected Christ into our dying world. I love what N.T. Wright says. He says this, reminding us of our mission. It is spirit-driven. It is a cross-shaped work of Jesus' followers as they worship the true God and, confronting idols with the news of Jesus' victory, works for the signs of his kingdom in human lives and institutions. We who have been raised to new life in Christ have also been called to bring new life to dead things as his followers in the name of our risen Lord Jesus. This is our calling. This is our new mission. Through the power of Jesus, we have been called through his gospel, both in the cross and the empty tomb, to bring dead things back to life. Perhaps it is a family that is on the edge of being torn apart. Perhaps as husband and wife, your marriage is just about dead. Jesus in his power can bring his resurrection power and resurrect that dead marriage back to life. For those of us that are seeking life in other things, Jesus talks about the life, the true life that only resides in him. In his life can we find true life. Christianity and the gospel is marked by the cross and the empty tomb. Both are essential aspects of the gospel story. On the cross, all false authorities and powers have been forever disarmed and destroyed. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," it is finished. The past is now blotted out forever for those that are in Christ Jesus. The bonds of sin and temptation and the powers that seek to destroy us ultimately have been broken on that cross forever. And on that Easter morning now, a new world has begun. A revolution has started on the cross, continues through the power of our risen Lord, one fueled, as one pastor puts it, in the power of forgiveness and love. What happened to Jesus' body as he rose again from the grave is what Jesus will do in his rule, reign, his perfect priesthood, and his perfect prophetic ministry as the true prophet. It's what he's going to do to our world and entire universe. A ministry to renew, to bring life, and to bring transformation. This morning, I just want to ask us two questions. Do you know the power of the cross in your life? When all those things that try to ultimately conquer us have been forever destroyed, disarmed, where our past is indeed forgiven and cleansed, and we can have a new life. Secondly, do you know the power of the empty tomb in your life? One that shows who the true King is, who is the Lord of life. And his resurrection is our own. Call to new life and call to a mission and ministry to also, in the name of Jesus, bring dead things back. Cross and the empty tomb. If those things are not yet your experience, we can pray together right now and ask God to allow that to be your own experience even this morning. Before we pray and close out, three questions for our children in what Pastor Diane sent out, the church chat. Why is Easter so special for the entire world? Why is Easter so special for the entire world? Secondly, why is the cross of Jesus Christ also so special for the entire world? And thirdly, how does both the cross and the empty tomb change your life forever? So children, talk to your parents, they have the right answer. And discuss those three things: Easter, the cross of Jesus Christ, and how do both of those things change your life forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, even in the midst of churches being closed throughout our nation, that we can gather together on this glorious Easter morning and celebrate not only your birth, yes, not only your death, yes, but your glorious resurrection as well, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, for anyone who is watching and hearing this message, who's not really sure what the cross on that Good Friday means for them. If there's anyone out there that doesn't understand what it means to have a new life, where the deadest of dead things in our lives, our personal lives, our families, our relationships, a marriage, we realize that only in your power, the power of our risen Lord who conquered both sin and death forever, indeed, in your resurrection is our own. We want that life. If that is your desire, pray with me. Lord, I know that I cannot fix my own life. I've not really understood what the cross or the empty tomb really has meant. But I do see and I believe. Thank you for defeating forever sin in my life. Would you forgive me? And would I know the power of new life that comes when the one who conquered the greatest enemy of death itself rose again from the grave? Would you bring new life to my soul? Would you bring new life to my family? Would you bring new life to my marriage? And so I do receive you as a crucified Lord and the risen Savior together. And I thank you for this gospel of good news. I commit my life to follow you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for anyone that prayed that prayer or wants to know more, that you would, as you have done throughout the ages, reveal yourself to anyone who is seeking you. I pray, Father, as we as a church realize the new life that we have been given, when you rose again from the grave, we did also. And as we wait for your return, remind us of that mission you've given to us, Lord, to be used by you in this hurting world, especially during this time of this pandemic, to bring the words of life to that which is dead and dying. Allow us to be bold. Allow us, with the joy and celebration of new life that has been given to us in the death and resurrection of Jesus, would you right now renew us to that new life and to that new mission once again? We're humbled, we thank you, we worship you on this glorious Easter morning in some of the most challenging times our nation, this world has ever seen. We thank you for the life, the renewal, and the power over death and dead things forever. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Hallelujah. Amen.